Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. I'm Pete Donaldson, I'm with Jim Campbell, and I'm also with Luke Moore. Where's Marcus? Where in the world is Marcus San Diego? We don't know. And no, I'm not writing an intro like Marcus.
No.
I'm unprofessional at best.
Why would you?
Why would you?
Do you write all your links for the radio show you do?
No, unless I'm very hungover. How are you doing, everybody?
You work harder when you're hungover.
Yeah.
I've got to keep on the straight and narrow. I've just got to be normal. I just kind of,
can't bring emotion into it.
I can't bring
reduce your variables.
I can't have a little cry. It's like Troy Deeney's tearful kind of little speech after the
oh, that was good.
After the match.
But, I'll tell you one thing that actually reduced me to tears yesterday.
Right.
It's a bit off the beaten track, but if you'll indulge me for a moment.
Julian Assange being ejected from the Ecuadorian embassy?
No, it's not that, actually, no. Dwayne Wade, he's an NBA player. And he's just about to, I think he's just about to play his last home game, or he just has played his last home game. Mm. And Budweiser did a video of him.
You made it like a man there, Budweiser.
Budweiser
popped around.
And his teammate, Budweiser, did a video.
Sponsored
but
man.
He spent the last season exchanging shirts with all the players that he's liked playing against the most.
Right.
Okay. Kind of like a farewell tour kind of thing.
Okay.
And Budweiser did this thing where they got him three or four or five people from his life to come and talk to him in a deserted basketball court about what he's meant to them.
Oh.
Reduce me to absolute bits.
That is like on a Sunday morning.
But I'm still not buying Budweiser.
I will find myself watching Ian Wright talking to his old teacher.
Oh,
I'll
that's
myself,
a good one. Yeah.
Children being given spectacles for the first time when they're about 1 year old and they're seeing for the first time. They're like, oh. New ear implants, cochlean ear implants,
good, yeah.
And also dogs being reunited with Marines. It's the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. So, lads, Twitter has been awash the last few days. With people summing up their insipid musical tastes in seven bands. Mm. They're basically sort of saying, this is what sums me up. And I've realised that a lot of people in my life have terrible taste in music, for one. So I'm thinking, could you guys sum up your taste in football in seven players? Something that really sums up what you find important in a footballer.
Yeah, ready?
Yeah.
Salif Jow. Shkodran Mustafi. Yaya Sanogo. Adi Akinbaye. Kostas Mitroglou, Bruno Cheyrou, and Ricky Van Volswinkel.
I mean, you'll get a great score on Scrabble if nothing else.
Yeah, indeed. I have to say, they were all lifted directly from 4-4-2s to 50 worst players to ever play in the Premier League.
Fantastic stuff. Yeah.
Because I remember that to do this about 10 minutes before I bloody got it.
Oh, yeah. Loki, honestly.
Well, I gave it a little bit more thought.
Right.
I went for Ian Wright. Don't want to upset you.
Okay.
Pete, but I did.
Yes, another, Ian Wright's teacher. Was he another one you played?
No, but
he was just, you know,
I said
there,
he was dead.
That's Charles Dickens, Ian Wright there.
I said he was dead.
Sorry, was Ian Wright in a biopic about the American Civil War?
Ian Wright, fetch me the biggest turkey.
So Roberto Baggio, again, that might upset
you.
This is too earnest.
This is too honest. This is a good team.
It is earnest. Yeah but I like football. Do you not?
This is Robert Earnest.
Have you forgotten what this show's all about?
What this parish is about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going for Jorge Campos.
Okay.
I love the chaos of the man.
The colours, the height.
Yeah, the height, the goal scoring, the dribbles, the fact he was a sort of goalkeeper and a winger.
Free kick specialist a little bit as well.
Weird. Tony Adams, because he waved at me once in Upminster when I was a kid.
In
Why
Upminster?
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, you went, wave at me.
Yeah, I went, Tony! He turned around and he waved at me and got in his
Hello.
Car.
Hello, Jim. How's it going?
Was it a sympathy wave because you were both in Upminster at the time?
Upminster's actually all right.
Is it all right? Yeah.
Sorry. It's the end of the district line, isn't it?
Yes,
that's all I know about it as well.
Claude Makélélé, because I love a tough tackler. I thought Makélélé or David Batty, but Makélélé's definitely better.
Well, he's made his own role, Jim.
Yeah,
is there a Batty role? I don't think
not
so.
Not really, no.
Batty role sounds like a dancehall star.
Kanchelskis, Andrei Kanchelskis, because I love a winger that beats a man.
Right.
And Ronaldinho, who does not need... You know, and he just
again
fight.
Too earnest.
That's where the earnest has to stop.
Yeah,
yeah.
My seven-a-side team's beating yours. That's all I'm saying.
What? hang on a minute.
Yes.
I've got Mitroglou.
Hang on a minute.
I've got Van Volswinkel and Mitroglou up front.
Yeah.
With Akinbye and Sanogo, just which is horrendously imbalanced.
You haven't even got a goalkeeper, and my goalkeeper can score goals as well.
It's really imbalanced by the virtue of the fact that none of them can play football very well.
Mm, yeah.
I'd love to see it though.
The Robert Ernest Shaw has stopped. Schorle, Tommy, Sammy.
Yeah.
That's just basic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hatem Ben Arfa, René Higuita, André Ashavin, and Adel Taarabt.
Yeah, nice. So, yeah.
I imagine your team would roll out of a sort of clown car.
It would. Yeah. Definitely would.
Well, Premier League. It's back this weekend. It was back last weekend, to be fair,
for a limited
run, let's say. Liverpool versus Chelsea kicking off Sunday at 4:30. Liverpool beat Porto in the week with a bit of a shuffled midfield and a very businesslike attitude. They obviously set the stall out, got a couple of goals. Milner came in at full back. It was a bit of a stroll in the end, wasn't it?
I don't know if I agree with that. I thought Porto had a few chances. Mm. They were certainly better than when they played against Liverpool the year before, which wasn't difficult, of course. But they won the game 2-0 in the home leg of a Champions League quarterfinal. It's an absolute textbook.
Yeah.
So of course I'm not sort of trying to trivialise what they've achieved.
Should they have gone for more though, Luke?
I think they did though.
Yeah, I think they did.
And Mane was perhaps a touch unlucky not to have his goal stand. And they did go for more. And I believe that's why they left Porto open for a few chances, chances they couldn't take in the end. Alisson made a decent save. But looking ahead to the Chelsea game, what I like about this when this game comes around, and I guess to an extent it's around the start of when the Football Ramble had its inception. Mm. Liverpool and Chelsea had this quite interesting rivalry for a few years, didn't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of really heated ding-dongs.
And what it culminated in is something that I don't think enough people remember, is that at one point, Liverpool and Chelsea, I think it would have been 2005, 2006, were in the same Champions League group.
Yes.
Because Liverpool won the Champions League and got special dispensation to go into it as an extra team.
And the
got
country drawn... protection didn't count, did it?
No, and they got drawn the same group as Chelsea.
Yeah.
So 2-0 in the group stage, so less said about that the better.
But that was it. Yeah, the anger was around the games was better than the actual football.
Yes.
For a while. It became very boring.
And then, of course, they played each other in the knockout stage in 2008-09, which ended in it was a 4-4 draw in there. I think it was the season Chelsea knocked them out. They beat them 3-1 at Anfield, I believe. So there's a lot of history to this fixture.
Yeah.
A lot of animosity. Of course, the Benitez factor played into that as well.
Yeah, a legend for both clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. Warmly received both in Liverpool and in West London. So it should be a really good game. I'm going to be controversial here. Is it the thigh rubber of the weekend when we've got a Cardiff Burnley game, which is a lot more on at stake there?
Mm.
I think the quality of the football is a huge reason for me to put my hand
up for Burnley v Cardiff.
Onto your thigh. Yeah. And you don't need any sort of
encouragement,
basically, do you?
No, I think Dyche versus Warnock is a thigh rubber.
Yeah, both quite explosive.
Yeah.
Older men.
Definitely.
I think they cancel each other out. I think they're both of the type who won't step up to someone like them. Do you know what I mean?
Warnock won't
step up to Dyche.
No, but they might do separately mental things.
Warnock won't step up to anyone who's not foreign.
he's gutted. He just wants us to get on with it.
Halloween beckons.
Even Big Sam.
Yeah. Big Gam.
Well, I mean, looking at players coming back into the Liverpool side, certainly. Joe Gomez. Back on the subs bench after a broken leg. And the Ox as well. He played in a friendly at Melwood. So he may be seen before the end of the season, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it really, he's very much the forgotten man there. Obviously, he's not been around. And it's a real shame because he was having a real impact for them last season. And,
yeah.
You know, when he comes back, he adds a real depth to their squad there. And good luck to him. He seems a good guy.
Who's that? The Ox?
Yes.
The Ox, yeah.
And Gomez is really important. I mean, he was probably at least, you know, I think he was the preferred partner for Van Dijk,
and
they were
very, very solid when that was the partnership. And given that he's only 21,
Southgate likes him as well.
Yes.
So it's important. It's great news for them. And Oxlade Chamberlain is someone who will certainly improve. Well, it'll obviously be too soon for him to come back for the title running, will it? I don't think he can make a realistic impact, can he? Maybe, I don't know.
You need bodies at this time of the season, I'd say.
Imagine if he came back for the semi-final and did himself in again. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it?
Well, that's basically what Klopp has been saying, though, isn't it? That he needs to.
What, he's going
to
do that?
No, 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 he's not.
I'm going to get him.
He's
going
to do it himself. Yeah. I'm going to do it for him.
It's not, it's not his leg, it's Liverpool's leg, and I'm going to run it into the ground.
Yeah. So, speaking of players coming back, Danny Drinkwater, very much not coming back under Sarri. He's a good player, and he's able to play in a 4-4-2 or a 4-2-3-1 very well, but he's not suitable for me.
Yeah, he said that he basically told him this in August, didn't
he? Yeah, but he's been sticking around.
Would
he be the sort of player to just pick up a paycheck and just kick around?
He has done.
I mean, he has done this far, but still.
But I mean, his recent behaviour implies that he's not in the best place in his head if he's behaving like that.
Ah, looking at him any time in football's career.
Yeah, I guess so.
He needs a move, obviously. Yeah. And the apex of his career, clearly when he was integral to that Premier League winning team, Leicester, and he was very, very close to the England squad for the World Cup. Was it the World Cup? Or was it the Euros? It was the Euros, wasn't it? Of course, it was the Euros. And he played in a friendly. I thought he did well, but he didn't get the nod. He's just rotting at the moment. I mean, the guy, because he's peaked kind of quite late, I think he's just 29, so he's recently turned 29, so he needs a move. There's talk of it being linked to West Ham, isn't there? Mm. He needs to go. And the Sarri thing, I know it sounds flippant, but you've got to remember the context is, Sarri's the guy who arguably more than anyone else plays a specific style.
Yeah.
And he's always going to play three in midfield. And if Drinkwater doesn't fit in a three in midfield, which he doesn't, by the way, he fits perfectly in a two, as we saw with him with Conte in the Leicester team, it's best for him to go. I'm surprised that he hasn't gone already, either last summer, as you mentioned, or in January. But clearly, it must just be.
He's got massive wages demands. And I think
difficult to get off the wage.
I think they're talking like 10 million loan.
You've
got to pay 10 million to have him on loan.
Also, thing is, though, I mean, if Chelsea are looking at a transfer ban coming up and the manager is publicly saying that he's not part of his plans, I mean,
are low down the pecking order if that is happening, innit?
The draw between Liverpool and Chelsea is 3-1 with Bet365. £10 will return £40, including stake, should there be a stalemate. When is it? Sunday afternoon?
It is, yeah. 4:30. I don't know. Liverpool can't. It's so tense at the top. It's not quite so tense at the bottom. That's what I'm quite enjoying about this Premier League season. There's actually a bit of competition at the top going into the last few matches.
Could it be a situation where Man City play Palace, right? We'll talk about them in a minute.
Yeah.
If they win and Liverpool lose, Man City go a point above Liverpool with a game in hand. It's difficult for Liverpool from then, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Difficult.
Yeah,
usually,
you would think. Unless City sort of start to wobble a bit themselves, which could well happen. But Liverpool haven't actually won any of their last six Premier League matches at Anfield against Chelsea.
Right.
Which is, that's mad, isn't it?
Chelsea are a misfiring team, though, at the moment. They look really ordinary at times.
They're on the back of three wins, though. And obviously, they're three wins against teams that aren't as good as Liverpool, which is, you know, true of pretty much every team in the league. But it's a tough one, this. Mm. And as you say, that the pressure there, and we've spoken about how we shouldn't perhaps talk about Liverpool in the context of pressure all the time. People don't so much say that about City, but this is a really crucial game.
But in fairness, I mean, I don't want to get the ire of Liverpool fans, but the reason I don't say about City is because City have done it. Mm. I mean, Liverpool have been in the situation before and they've not done it. You could argue that it's different now, and you know, things have changed since then, and I concede that. They've got a different manager, mostly different players. The reason it's a misnomer that people say, oh, you know, no one says this about Man City. Man City have done it. They've won several Premier League titles. They won it last year, but a canter. They know what it takes to win. So it's clearly there's not going to be as much focus on that aspect of Man City's character. But what I would say is, even if Liverpool come second, it doesn't mean, in quotes, they've bottled it. It just means they've not been quite as good. Mm. And they've been bloody good for a team who's won, 18, 19 top flight titles or whatever
have.
And they've had their best season in terms of points total ever.
The points total this season coming second will be embarrassing. It'll be absolutely insane. A little stat I quite enjoyed about Liverpool, though. Since his Champions League debut a little while ago, Alisson has kept more clean sheets than any other keeper in the competition. How integral has he been, not only as a goalkeeper, but a provider of balls as well? His distribution is great.
He's been brilliant. He's obviously on occasion kept Edison out of the Brazilian national team, which obviously tells its own story. They needed a keeper badly, and the best testament you can pay to him, the best compliment you can give him, is that
he probably won't drop a ball in the Champions League final.
No, it's just that it feels like Liverpool's goalkeeping worries are now miles behind them. When actually maybe a year ago we would talk about it quite a lot, and it takes a good keeper to be able to do that. It takes a good keeper to not only not be questioned, but for people not even to think about the fact that he's going to be number one.
Yeah.
So he's been excellent. He is excellent. He costs a lot of money. So you'd expect him to be good. And I think he's probably going to get better next season as well.
Mm. Fantastic. Well, Crystal Palace are taking on Manchester City, as Luke mentioned, on Sunday at 2 or 5 p.m. What's with the five,
very specific,
guys? What's the five, guys?
Let's just be
about?
Specific. There's nothing wrong with being specific.
I know. I like time.
Admin.
I've always been a fan.
It's not been a fan of yours, though, is it? It's not been kind to you,
has
it?
It's been very cruel to me. Yeah, there's a beautiful painting in my loft. It really is.
By time.
Spurs edged out Man City in the week. Pep's away record in big matches in Europe is a little bit under scrutiny. People are sort of saying he overthinks his tactics sometimes. He kind of changes things up when he doesn't necessarily need to.
It seems to be, yeah. That was very much the narrative before the game, wasn't it? Slightly strange selection. And this was the case against Liverpool last year as well, when he played Gundogan in a slightly withdrawn role. And you wonder what... Because Guardiola, obviously, he's a flexible manager, but you don't really think of him as this kind of tinkerer. But on both of those occasions, he's done
tinker,
that. And it's come unstuck for him. Obviously, I suppose, you know, when you approach bigger games, you perhaps do it with greater scrutiny, and he's got a run in to think about. So perhaps there's an element of risk taking as well. But
you don't take risks against that team in the Champions League necessarily.
Jonathan Wilson wrote a really interesting piece in The Guardian yesterday about what you're saying, Guardiola overthinking things, and that it's been, apologies if you've already said this, but it's been 10 straight away games in Champions League quarter or semi-final that Guardiola's teams have failed to win.
With the caveat, those games are more difficult, but still.
Yes, and also there's a chance to turn them around in some cases as well. Yeah,
some of those are draws
results. Exactly, it can be misleading, of course, because if you go away to the new camp and get a 2-2 draw, you're pretty happy with that. But it depends on the circumstances. I do think he kind of overthinks it. And I'm saying that as someone who's not really that tactically aware myself, so maybe I'm talking absolute nonsense.
Have a bit of Mahrez. That's what he's saying. But have a bit of Mahrez in there.
And I thought that what was a real testament to Tottenham was the fact that I listened to this game on the radio before watching the highlights when I got home. I was driving. And the commentator, Ian Dennis on Five Live, said that if you look at the discrepancy between the cost of these teams on the pitch at the moment, Spurs' net spend of something, it's like 40 million.
Yeah.
And City's under Guardiola, it's like 370 million already.
That's a benched player, 40 million, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I did find it odd that Mahrez played, and De Bruyne wasn't given much. I think he came on very late. Sané was the same. You can kind of understand that, maybe. But the game was fascinating purely because they just got Sissoko to just break everything to pieces.
Yeah.
It was amazing. He's gone from being this guy who we would readily take the piss out of, almost like a persona non grata at Spurs after a £30 million transfer. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing subtle about his play.
No.
But he can disturb the best team.
Oh, he's direct and
it's like a scorched earth policy.
Well, he sort of said that Poch showed him videos of Man City Liverpool at this stage last year and was basically told to let him know you're there, knock him off the rhythm, knock him off the feet at times. He's good for a yellow card. Let's make that very clear. But he's had a relatively good season for Moussa Sissoko.
I've seen Spurs in the flesh maybe 5-6 times a season, maybe more. And every time I've seen him play, he's been very good.
Yeah.
He's not, to be fair, Pete, he's only actually picked up one yellow card in the Premier League this season.
Oh, really?
So he's doing a lot less, sort of, not dirty, but a lot less clumsy, maybe he seems.
Maybe he goes so quick the referee can't see him.
Yeah. It's like FIFA 95. You carry on running, the referee can't book you.
I'm sure that was a misnomer.
No, it is. I've seen it on YouTube.
Oh. Yeah. No, I think this odd thing about that, though, because obviously it was so evident that Sissoko was causing that issue in the midfield, was that City didn't sort of try and bypass it more often. Their fullbacks are very sort of tentative from what you'd expect from City.
I think City are at their best when they play, it's only my opinion, they play a three in midfield, they play Fernandinho in the middle, and he gets the ball because he's the best player in their team at getting the ball in tight areas and distributing it properly. And he's played Stones in there before, and Stones isn't as confident in tight areas. Gundogan isn't as good either.
Very few in the world are.
Exactly. And so you've got to play to those strengths, I think. I think he's the nature of Guardiola. It's basically what Pete started this with. I feel like he's such a brain, and he overthinks everything so much. And we all know people like that who overthink things all the time. And he just ties himself up in knots. I mean, of course, they could go back to the Etihad and win handily. That's obviously possible, and they'll go through, and we won't talk about it again. I mean, they won their last Champions League game 7-0 or something, didn't they? Yeah. So clearly, it's not a crisis. They're still in the competition. But it was difficult. It felt like City couldn't really get a hold of the game consistently, you know. And Ali did a really good job on Fernandinho, for example, just snapping at him, snapping at him over and over again. So yeah, it was interesting.
You just can't. You're not relaxed if a player's just absolutely snapping at you all the time.
No, but we've got to say though, Pete, that if Aguero scores that penalty 11 minutes in, could be a completely different game.
Yeah,
because Spurs aren't going to take a 1-0 home defeat. That was a disaster for them, really. So they would have played differently. It would. So these things can hinge on these little moments.
You know, teams like Man City can sort of like we saw last week in the cup. Like they get their goal and then they just shut up shop effectively. But would Spurs have enough to sort of get through? I don't know. Weird. The run-in, though, regarding Manchester City, we're talking about players, teams they've got to play before the end of the season. They've got to be looking at maximum points. They can't really slip against anyone. Yeah. Their remaining opponents have an average points tally of 1.53. Liverpool, on the other hand, 1.17.
So Liverpool got an easier run-in.
Easier run-in by 0.4 something of a point.
But you look at it and you think, with the exception, I mean, they should... Going to Old Trafford will be tough, because Solskjaer will tap into that thing that he taps into a lot, and of course they play Spurs like twice in 3 days, don't they? One in the Champions League return leg, then one in the league. Other than that, they've got to win every game.
I mean, yeah, Liverpool obviously have their own Champions League concerns as well, so it is going to be whatever's left in the tank has got to be used up for both teams. And I think it's going to be really exciting. I wonder as well about Crystal Palace and their habit of spoiling parties. I know they've not been great at home this season, but we've seen them, throw spanners at Liverpool before. Could they do the same to City this time?
They beat City at the Etihad.
Absolutely, they did. Crazy. Andros Townsend with that absolute screamer.
It can happen. I want to go back very, very quickly, if I may, because I think it's a big story, to Harry Kane, and more specifically, Harry Kane's ankle.
Yes.
Because the news hasn't come out yet, but it looks like he strained the ligaments. It's happening over and over again. Yeah. And as far as I understand it, those ligaments around the ankle just get looser and looser. Mm. And I think when it comes to a certain point, you have
Sissoko.
Yeah, get very looser and looser Sissoko. And when it comes to a certain point, you have to have quite a serious operation. Mm. I wonder if it could... I mean, could that derail his career?
Well, potentially. I read a piece...
He's obviously got a returning issue with his ankle. Mm.
I read a piece, possibly Tony Cascarino, I'm not sure, but it was somebody saying that it's because of the way he challenges strikers. It's rather than sort of just getting his body in there to press them, he's going in particularly hard and from the side,
and
that puts strain on your ankle. So he's liable to get this injury repeatedly and miss stretches of each season. So that is an absolute possibility. Right? Yeah.
The psychology of a recovering footballer when it comes to injuries, like knowing any point that could happen again and the pain that goes with that, you become a slightly different footballer. Surely if that happens over and over again, you start to play a little bit differently.
That's why it was so impressive when Aaron Ramsey came back after that bad injury. The season he came back, he was so impressive because he was exactly the same as he was before.
Yeah.
But psychology, very, very strong. Playing exactly the same way. Going back to Crystal Palace, they're 17-2 to cause an upset here. So £10 on them to win with Bet365 and do the double over City this year. Will return £95, including stake.
Well, the team are no doubt buoyed by the fact that Wilfried Zaha is committing his future to Crystal Palace. He's not going to be moving on, even though there's a lot of interest in different quarters from Manchester United and Germany.
He signed a new deal in the summer, didn't he?
Yeah, but does that mean anything nowadays?
Well, at the time, I remember people thinking that that was just going to protect Palace.
Yeah,
so they would get more money for him. Yeah,
yeah. Apparently,
like New Star Soccer.
I was. No, I had a shelfie New Star Soccer.
Jim, do you still play that?
No, I deleted it off my phone.
It's addictive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Luke made a point that somebody pointed out Julian Assange leaving the Ecuador embassy. What was it about Football Manager?
Oh, it's like, does anyone check what seasonal Football Manager he's on? Because he's been there for a long time.
Apparently,
that's not my joke. I read that on Twitter.
I was looking at the fouling statistics. Wilfried Zaha has been fouled so many times. Only Eden Hazard has been fouled more
this
season.
Not surprised.
And Wilfried Zaha was at the top of the fouling, being fouled table last year. So he's let himself down there in many ways.
Yeah.
Right, we'll take a short ad break. We'll have some emails after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To be left outside alone when it's cold. don't be left outside alone like Anastasia's friend. Get your tickets to the Football Ramble Live.
He's right, you know.
Yeah.
How can they get tickets to the Football Ramble Live, Luke Moore?
RambleLive.com. And if you're planning on coming to London, you've got to move pretty quick because I don't think there's hardly many tickets left at all. The only option for you soon is going to be to go to Hayes just outside London. So yeah, check it out. Go to RambleLive.com. You see all the details on there.
I bought myself a box so I could put my friends in there.
You're going to be on stage?
I know.
Well, okay.
I'm not going to sit there myself. Although I do have access to
that. That'd be good.
So you're considering it immediately.
That's like for a box.
That's why you brought it up.
It's quite affordable. That's all I'm saying. The box was surprisingly affordable for a box.
Check it out. You have changed.
Check it out. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet.
Not the bees! You've got mail.
Bad bees!
Right, let's have some emails. Jim Campbell.
Hi, guys. Enjoying the 12 eggs of Easter so far, are they all recorded / chosen? Reason I ask is for me, the greatest egg, given his very interesting background of fighting back from childhood tragedy, is Stig Tofting. He was an imposing presence on the field, inspirational despite his faults, and I recall him being a fearsome ball-winning midfielder on Pro Evo. I think it'd make for a good addition to the seasonal ramble, or at the least, a mini-mensch in another eggisode. Yours, Chris McLaughlin. So, Chris, the eggs have been chosen, and the eggs are all in the pan. So you'll have to keep listening and find out who's in there.
Well, and also we were very much the vehicle for this. They were in some ways the eggs were thrust upon us, and it was only our job to become a kind of ersatz town crier and deliver them to you. Stig Tofting's now got his mention automatically, Jim, because you've read out the email.
So there you go.
Tragic start to that man's life. He was a boxer for a while.
Got some more pie action.
Okay,
this is from Burnley and it's unusual. At a midweek game in Burnley, I once got half a meat and potato pie thrown into the back of my head after about 50 minutes. I couldn't believe anyone would throw a pie because they're well nice. Agree. Then on the hour mark, half a bottle of Lucozade Sport smashed into my shoulder. I couldn't believe it either because everyone knows Lucozade helps you to keep your electrolyte balance and it's also nice. Both times the items hit me hard and both times I looked around and no one was laughing or looking guilty or anything. I should add that it was in the home end, so these items came from one of my own. I think we lost the game 1-0. That's from Andrew Lofthouse. It's just, this phenomenon is unusual.
Yeah.
I'm done with this. I've ruined someone's head.
Why did someone, I mean, if someone's got the dastardly scheme to do that, they would be very good at covering their tracks. So you turn it around.
But no one's claiming it.
Yeah. Maybe they just want to disappear under cloak of other people. You turn around, there's 50 people watching the game. All you're going to do is stand off watching over that person's head at the game. Yeah. And you're not going to be able to give
yourself
away.
Some weird prankster voyeur. I can't remember the last time
I can't remember the last time I bought like a bottle of something and didn't drink it all.
Really?
I mean, that says more about me than a lot of things. But I mean, just buying a bottle of Lucozade and not finishing it.
I remember there was where I used to stand at Fratton Park in the old Fratton Inn before there was seats there.
There's no plaque.
No.
A blue plaque.
No, it's not, sadly. But you know, altogether, predictably, there used to be a bunch of guys because you'd like stand in the same kind of place. And there's a load of guys near where I used to stand. And they used to point score each other, see how many fag butts, because obviously you could smoke then, and they could get into other people's turn ups.
Oh wow!
And they used to do it over and over again. It used to be
a lot
big
of turn ups
thing.
Happening in
their defence. Most Portsmouth games were very boring, and this was the '90s, Pete. So it could. You could find types in a lot of different places. Yeah.
What were the kind of like go-to indie boy kind of Britpop trouser? I can't really remember, to be honest. Drain pipes?
They were flares,
yeah,
weren't they?
Sort of flares.
Britpop was like it was bracketed up with like 60s and 70s kind of fashion,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, I seem to recall that, yeah. Because I sort of sashayed straight into kind of like skate culture. Baggy jeans, yeah.
So the Stone Roses ushered in flares, which kind of hung around for a bit as well.
You've got to remember, Pete was the erstwhile guitar player for seminal ska punk band One Eyed Willie.
Exactly right.
So he came from a different side of the tracks from us.
Any more, Jim?
We do have one more. Jim has been in touch.
Oh.
Jim Lawrence.
You put a Jim in last week.
I didn't.
I'm
not
action.
Doing this on purpose.
Jim squared.
You know what? Jim might have something to answer for.
Multi-Jim.
Like my dream. Hi, chaps. The chat on whether the Charity Shield counts as a trophy reminded me of one of my first trips to Wembley back in 1983. Man United beat Liverpool 2-0 thanks to a Brian Robson brace, and I recall Big Ron afterwards telling the interviewer on Match of the Day, with a very straight face, that United had just won the fourth biggest trophy in English football. Don't think anyone was having it even then. One of the silliest things Ron's ever said, eh?
And
also, as a fellow Jim and cold sore sufferer, my sympathies go to Jim as they are just horrible.
The French call
them
gyms.
Well, apparently so. The French call them boutons de fièvre, fever buttons, which really nails the little bastards. I love that. But Pete needn't worry, as they tend only to be contagious to very young children, not adults. So if you get them young, usually caught from your parents, you get them for life, a bit like your football team. Adults don't get them. So Pete, when you get to the States, you'd better come up with another excuse or prepare to pucker up. Now, I don't think that's true, Jim. I think you're spreading dangerous misinformation as well as herpes, Jim, potentially there. So
don't kiss young children.
No,
he's
well,
Jim, and he's not Dr. Jim.
No, exactly.
He's not a medical professional.
I'm no mouth doctor, but I implore you to check your sources there, Jim. And if anyone can shed any light on that, any medical professionals, do let us know.
That's how we met Jim. He started up to me in a bar and said, "Now I'm no mouth doctor,
but I definitely fancy a smooch." Was there Jim Robinson from Neighbours a doctor at any point?
I don't know, but that wouldn't mean that the actor Alan Dale is a doctor. No. So we should perhaps not ask him either.
His career went surprisingly well.
And then sort of went away again. Yeah. Weirdly,
Aussies can always do an excellent American accent. That's
true.
They're always
very
fantastic.
True.
That sort
or
of thing.
A Norse god accent, for example. If you want to get in touch with any information about cold sores or anything, even football related, if you're feeling like it, that is show@thefootballramble.com.
But it's very important to stress that they do not have to email about football, and they should not feel pressured to do so.
No. The wider the subjects, the better. Turf Moor, gentlemen,
will be the scene on
Saturday at 3 p.m. Burnley versus Cardiff City. You were having this as the biggest thigh rubber of the weekend. I slightly disagreed. What's your take on this one?
my take on it is that people must be out of their goddamn mind.
Ooh.
Not putting this on TV.
Right. It seems strange to have, but for the Burnley fans, certainly playing at home, they can have a 3 p.m. absolute ding dong, which you don't normally see.
So I suppose we can say that we prioritise people actually going to the game. Good for them. I'm not going to burn in on a Saturday afternoon. I won't be able to get a ticket anyway.
Yeah.
That game's got to be moved. It's got to be on. Listen, if we all understand that certain games, regardless of how fans are not looked after, and we know all about that, certain games are going to be on TV. Friday night, for goodness sake, Leicester v Newcastle United.
Yeah, that's
boring.
Not great. That's not great.
Boring.
We haven't had a Friday for a while, though, to be fair.
Burnley, it was last Friday was a game.
Not Newcastle.
Oh, Newcastle, okay. Burnley against Cardiff should be the game that's being shown on Saturday at 5:30, which is currently Man United West Ham. No one gives a shit about that.
Either move it or resurrect Reddit's soccer streams folder, which doesn't exist anymore, which is quite upsetting. Mm. Burnley striker Chris Wood reckons that this is a bigger one for the opponent's Cardiff. Are you having that? I think it's pretty big for Burnley,
I think that's terrible mind game, because Neil Warnock and Cardiff really needs to feel like it's bigger for them. It's unusual for me that, because I think Burnley win this and they're safe, right?
Pretty much. That's 11 points ahead of Cardiff. But Burnley still have to play Chelsea, Man City, Everton and Arsenal. This is a cup final for them, in my mind.
Very much so. They have to get the 3 points on the board there. He's right, isn't he? Because Cardiff look like they are more and more likely to be that third team going down. But with that in mind, there's no room for error for them. They've got to fight tooth and nail with every minute they've got available to them. So I think this is that's just invited pressure on Burnley there.
Yeah,
Cardiff haven't won a game, I don't think. Admittedly, they might have only played a couple of games, but they haven't won a game. They were against Chelsea and Man City. But they haven't won a game since Sol Bamba got injured.
Right. The referees muffed them. Referees relegated that team.
Is that right?
Tore the life out of this. What was the Remy thing?
Oh, yeah. He said, he's few. He also said earlier in the season when Joe Rules took out Lucas Moura, was it? I don't think it should have been a red. He didn't endanger the player's life.
Yeah.
So, complicated relationship with the kind of laws of the game.
Yeah. If he's carrying weaponry, that's a harsh yellow.
Yeah. So, I think it's a huge game for both teams. But you're right to point out, Burnley's last four games are absolutely horrific.
Mm.
That said, even if they get a draw against Cardiff and they don't win any more games, they're expecting Cardiff to do quite a lot better than they have done already to date. So it's even there, it's not over. So it's a much bigger game for Cardiff. It's purely because Cardiff don't win, it's almost certainly curtains for them.
Mm-hmm.
Which we didn't think we would say 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks ago, when they're really very much part of the conversation. So yeah, it'll be a good game. I just wish we could watch it. And because I will not countenance the idea of watching football illegally, Pete Donaldson, I will have to just suffer in silence.
Oh, you've never suffered in silence in your life, Luke Moore.
But Burnley are 5-6 to win this with Bet365. So £10 returns £18.33, including stake.
Yeah, they're back on form, I think it's fair to say. So I think they're definitely Yeah, they'll probably turn Cardiff off.
Dyche was saying after the game last week, I think it was, did they win? Yeah, they won at Bournemouth last week quite well.
Three in a row,
isn't
it?
Yeah, he was saying two, I think it's two in a row because they lost to Leicester. Right. But he was saying that on form since the turn of the year or something like that, they're like sixth in the table or something. Yeah. So they turned it around.
Somebody produced a chart of VAR decisions versus non-VAR decisions, i.e. decisions that get overturned in Italy, and looked at like how the results and the decisions kind of average out over a season. And most teams were pretty much in the same slot, same place in the league. So
okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. Apart from one team, I think, went from 16 to relegated, which was quite good.
Quite a big deal.
Another match happening on Saturday. This is the early one. Should it really be the early one, though? Spurs versus Huddersfield Town. We talked about Kane a little bit earlier on getting injured. They can do pretty well without Kane. They seem a bit more mobile and swarming, I think.
Their record is good without him. Yeah. It's important to make that clear. I was at the game against Palace, the first game in the new stadium, and they clearly felt the weight of the occasion. But once they got a goal, they're okay. I don't think Palace realistically had a chance of winning it, although they had a couple of chances. You'd expect Spurs to win well against Huddersfield, who have, as we talked about on Monday, have just drawing the ire of Jan Sievert when he returns, because they've just completely piled in, even though the pressure's technically off them. I think one of Spurs' most important players, to me, as someone who's been to see him a few times this season, or more than a few times, it's Harry Winks.
Yeah,
he keeps them in possession. He ticks the ball over. I know you're going to tick this off your Luke Moore bingo, but he's a kind of player that we don't appreciate as much in this country. And I think he's really important for them. If he's part of the team, they've always got a chance, I believe. And against Huddersfield, it should be a bit of a mismatch, whether Kane's fit or not, which he obviously isn't going to be. They should have enough to get past Huddersfield.
They've always got Son. Yeah, this is a gimme. This is a gimme hill. I think with Kane, generally speaking, though, I think the danger is that yes, they did do well without him, but they scraped a few of those results late on, and the danger is that one day you don't manage that, and obviously. Kane had so much that the idea that maybe they are a little less mobile without him in certain ways is offset massively by what he brings in the place of that.
Is he sometimes just a focal point for defenders?
No, because he drops deep, he picks the ball up deep, he can pass, he's a really good passer of the ball, he can finish move, he's a complete striker.
Yeah, really. I'm not saying they're not better off without him, but I think it's manageable. It's a manageable situation. If, I don't know, if Man City lost Aguero, for example, I think that would be possibly more of a miss.
Here's an interesting way to look at Spurs, I think. They've had this situation where they're going into this new stadium and they've played the game a certain way and they've played the transfer market in a certain way, and everyone knows about that. From next season onwards, it's probably going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for them to trot out that line anymore.
Yeah.
They're going to have to. Now they've got the Pochettino said it himself, I believe, in the program for the opening game. Now we've got this arena. Now we've got this thing. Now we've got to start acting and behaving and thinking like a properly big team.
Yeah.
And if you look at the team that the players in their squad. It could be a huge overhaul. There's talk that he's not happy with any of his fullbacks, with the exception of possibly Rose. So that's four players straight away. Mm-hmm. Lloris, I think, might be moved on. Sissoko might be moved on. Eriksen might go to Real Madrid. Llorente might be moved on. There's so much potential upheaval. Mm. They could end up losing 7, 8, 9. I mean, Alderweireld can trigger a £25 million clause in his contract to move on. They could lose 8 or 9 players this summer.
Yeah.
So it'll be a fascinating transition for them.
Are they not in a position where they, they're going to have to spend some time paying off the stadium as well?
Yeah,
I don't know the details.
I don't believe that's the case.
Right.
I believe that they are now in a position where they can start to make moves. Mm. But my point just purely was, if things go a certain way, they could lose 8 or 9 players, and which is going to hurt anyone because of the transition, because of the bedding down situation of the new players that come in as and when they get them. And it'll also be interesting to see how Levy approaches the transfer market, because they've been reticent to pay high agents fees for understandable reasons. They've been reticent to pay big wages and they've been reticent to pay big transfer fees. Is that going to change? They're arguably the most fascinating club this summer.
Yeah, there's a lot of incentives in a Spurs contract as well, isn't there? Kind of like to
absolutely, they're incentivized.
They posted huge financial results recently, though, didn't they?
300 million,
so they are
like that.
Going in the right direction.
Well, it was up 100 million on their previous because of the increased TV deal and stuff like that. Most teams are experiencing that, to be fair. So just it doesn't really level the playing. It literally levels the playing field, or figuratively rather. Down in the Championship, Aston Villa with their 7th straight win. Norwich and Sheffield both drawing after chucking away leads. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant.
Such a weird midweek set of fixtures.
Championship's great, isn't it? It's just great.
It really is.
Bingo.
Yeah. They're timing their run so well, Villa. I mean, They've been excellent. One of the goals they scored last night was absolutely brilliant.
The Grealish one.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Superb. Tammy Abraham missed he took a very poor penalty, which the goalkeeper saved, didn't he? But Tyrone Mings did that thing where he got sent off, and it was a little bit soft. But he did that thing where he was like grinning and smiling at how stupid it was. And I hate it when players do that.
It always
looks so insincere.
Also, with Mings is previous as well. He's a bit of a character, to say the least.
Well, his name sounds like a baddie.
Yeah, it does.
It's literally about his baddie. He's from Dundare, was it, Ming?
Oh, was it really?
Ming the Merciless was that?
Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon. Yeah. He is merciless.
And Villa are playing Bristol City, aren't they, on Saturday at home, which is a massive game because if Bristol City win it, they overhaul them. Mm. But yeah, they're looking quite safe for the playoffs now, Villa, I would say. I know there's only 5 points in it, but I think Middlesbrough, I know they won last time out, but they were on a terrible run, Middlesbrough. Talk of Pulis losing his job and all sorts. And so I think Villa might be firmly in the playoff picture come the end of the season.
Get that on the telly, that's what I say. A little bit further down in League Two, Sol Campbell's Macclesfield, or Macclesfield, as I wrote on the running order for the Football Ramble. Climbing out the relegation zone after a 3-2 win despite massive off-field problems. Players aren't getting paid. They're talking of striking and stuff like that. But Sol Campbell and Andy Cole and whoever else he's managed to get together, he's not exactly righting the ship, but he's putting more draws than losses on the table.
Yeah.
And they're out of the relegation scrap, which we didn't necessarily expect. Is that fair?
Oh, they're not out of the relegation scrap.
No,
sorry, they're out of the relegation zone. Yeah. They're in a relegation scrap. They haven't lost in five,
which is amazing. And they haven't been
for
paid.
Team,
have the players been paid for March now? Or there was talk that they hadn't been paid.
There was, I think every month since January, I think it's been late, which isn't ideal, really.
And it's, do you know what? Just outside of Macclesfield as well, the team who are more likely to go down, because obviously two go down at that level, it's Notts County, and they've been a permanent member of the Football League for, I think they're the oldest club, aren't they? So it's,
we've had this before, though, haven't
terrible.
We? Notts County threatening to drop out of the.
It's terrible. It's going to happen this time because of the way they've been mismanaged, and obviously the same thing's happening at Macclesfield. Very, very sad. But very good on Sol. Good on Sol for doing giving them a fighting chance, because they looked not dead and buried, but they looked very, it looked like a very difficult task for them, didn't it?
Yeah, and you know, the way that Sol Campbell conducts himself is he's not done quite as many kind of big ticket kind of interviews, or maybe nobody's that interested anymore after he got the job. But he's always sort of regarded as being quite a strange man, but he's done a pretty good job as a strange man. It's time to find out.
You sound he's strange, Pete.
I think he might be a strange man.
How strange would you say he is out of 10?
He's up there. He's a 9. He's a Esuakotu kind of character. Aloof. You'd call him aloof. So it's time to find out who's going to be doing this week's best bet with Bet365, Luke.
Oh, before I saw that, Macclesfield are actually evens to be relegated out of the Football League this year with Bet365. So £10 on that returns £20, including stake.
Oh,
the
mate.
Best bet with Bet365 comes this week from Paul, who says,
Paul.
Hi, guys. I recently checked my Bet365 account's 12-month win-loss history.
Right.
And I was a whopping £6 up over the course of the year. If that's not the sort of betting pedigree I need to get me in the hot seat, I don't know what is.
Ramble form.
This week, I'm going for a home win in arguably the furthest geographical distance derby in the league down on the south coast. I don't know if anyone calls Brighton Bournemouth a derby, do they? He says, off the back of the disappointing semi-final exit to Man City in what can only be described as the antithesis of a thigh rubber, I'm banking on the Seagulls to bounce back with a win and earn some money for charity. Brighton to beat Bournemouth, currently at 5-4, meaning £50, returns £112.50, including stake.
Ah.
That's our best bet at Bet365. Please remember, you've got to be 18 or over to gamble. And for more information on responsible gambling, it's begambleaware.org.
Yeah, Saturday when that match takes place is Carles Puyol's 41st birthday.
There we go.
So there we go.
What about? So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, what you would have played a game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for going.
Luke's game.
Oh, we're doing my game?
Yeah.
Cool, all right.
Yeah, baby doll.
All right, I've got one prepped because I thought you might ask for that.
Okay. I'd like to apologise for sniffling right throughout this show. I think I'm allergic to Marcus's chair.
I haven't noticed.
His fur.
Yeah, maybe you are.
His downing. Downy?
You might be hibernating somewhere in that chair until the summer. Luke's game. I'm going to give you a player. You've got to bid for how many clubs you can name. You know how it works.
Yeah.
Little twist, because Pete doesn't play this very often and therefore is out of practice.
Oh.
Jim, you're a good sport.
Not very good at it.
You won't mind. They've all played for Newcastle at some point.
Yeah, it's okay. Right. Last time when I mentioned all of Peter Beardsley's clubs.
Gives Pete,
like a ledge.
Gives Pete a bit of an angle.
Yeah.
But because of that, Jim, you can go first.
Okay.
First player. Mm-hmm. He's played for 12 clubs in total.
12.
Oh, bloody hell.
Is one. It's not Sammy. It's not Schola.
Oh,
oh
no.
It's Tomi Ameobi.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I can even name one.
Well, you should name one.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to.
He's played for 12, guys.
12.
Which, to be honest, I'll be honest with you, it was a surprise to me.
A lot of those are going to be loans.
He
right?
signed for someone this month as well.
Three of them are loans. That's correct.
Right, I'm going to go. I'm going to guess at three.
Three? Bloody hell!
I'm two of them, I guess.
Jim normally takes a very defensive position in this game.
Pete? I want to see Jim do three, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry, everyone. I'm letting everyone down here.
Name him, Jim.
Newcastle, obviously.
Yeah.
Dundee.
Hang on a sec.
Did he actually get a full match
Dundee.
For Newcastle? I don't think he did. Did he? He didn't much.
Oh,
he
never featured for Newcastle
through the Fuashola barrier.
So he was attached to them. So you can have Newcastle. Okay, it's irrelevant because Dundee isn't one of them anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Leeds United, Scunthorpe United, Doncaster Rovers, Grimsby Town, Mansfield Town, Forest Green Rovers, Whitley Bay, BL Bulangarvik, Grindavik, VPS, Whitley Bay again, FC Edmonton, FC Cincinnati, and then FC Edmonton again.
Wow. Yes.
I mean, he went out to Iceland, did he?
Because he's just signed back for the Canadian team because have they restarted their league? Haven't they? They've kind of...
Believe so.
Yeah.
Pete, that's a point for you. And you're up first this time with the one, the only... He's from Reunion Island. It's Lauren Robert.
Oh, good God.
And he's played for nine in total.
Nine?
It's another surprise, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I know where his
brother's playing. No, right.
I like the idea that people out there earlier in their car or on the bus were just screaming, BL Bulangarvik! BL Bulangarvik!
I can't do three. I'm going to go two.
Okay, Jim?
I'll have a guess at three.
You want to go four?
Nah.
Okay,
nah.
Jim, name your three, mate.
All right, I'm going to go Newcastle, obviously.
Yeah.
Marseille.
Oh. Pete, what were you going to go with?
Villa. Did you play for Villa briefly? Or
no.
I think it was Ginola.
Start at Montpellier.
That was genuinely one of the other ones I was going to say.
PSG. Newcastle United. Portsmouth on loan.
I was going with PSG. That's fine.
Benfica.
Oh, I had Benfica as well. That's so maddening.
Levante. Derby County. Toronto FC and ended his career at Larissa.
You know what? If you
have a
point for Pete, that's a pretty decent career, and I've won these all by default like last time.
Yeah, it's clean sweep, Pete. Last one is Jim. You go first. His chance to salvage a bit of pride. Warren Barton.
Okay,
played for six clubs in total.
Mm-hmm.
How many can you name?
Two, I can definitely name off the top of my head.
Two, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to play the Donaldson game. I'm going to go two.
I'm going to go three.
Jim, four?
No.
All right, Jim, you got name three. You're in the seat. Presumably you're going to go Newcastle United.
Newcastle United?
Yeah.
Warren Barton, he's from down south.
As the chant goes.
Is everyone down south from where you're from?
Didn't he have Fulham? for flips.
This game falls to bits with Martin.
I know, it's absolutely dreadful. Jim, isn't it? Sorry, everyone.
It was Wimbledon was going to be my.
Yes!
Name. Yeah, so you could have Maidstone United, where he started, Wimbledon, Newcastle United, Derby County, Queen's Park Rangers, Wimbledon again, and the end of his career at Dagenham and Redbridge.
Is it fair to say there was a lot of London clubs in there?
Yeah. Which is famously
I just got one of them.
Yeah, four.
I would have said Brentford.
Four. Pete, you win 2-1, so Pete wins.
Mm. So. Oh, you want a Pete's wins? Hang on.
Did you make one?
Yes, I did. No, I didn't, actually. So Pete wins! So, the heat is on, and the time is right. It's time for you, what you would have played our game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for gold. Luke's game. I enjoyed that. Sorry for all of the Newcastle fans I've upset by being absolute nonsense.
It's good because people can play along, and on this occasion they'll feel like they know more about football than us, which is almost certainly true.
Well, thank you very much everyone for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show sponsored by Bet365. We'll be back on Monday with a post thigh rubber takedown of what's been gone in the Cardiff match and the Man City match and the Spurs match. We'll be back.
Will the takes be hot?
They'll be lukewarm. By that point, but
well, they'll be cooking all over the weekend, so I imagine if they're not hot,
they'll be nice and tough. All the moisture will have gone out of them, but they'll be potent. They'll be very salty.
Some of our takes are air dried for 30 days to enhance their flavour.
Let's get out of here. We're back on Monday. Have a cracking weekend of football.
was a Radio Stakhanov production.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.